freaked out you were listening.
I'm sorry, honey?
I said Tom freaked out at
you.
Yeah.
Well, it might even be the speakers that we're having this evening. You know? Speaking of boats, he's a boatman.
Are you calling him a dream boat?
Oh, yes, that's too, honey. Yeah, that too. Last night after class, I looked and here's this great big crowd of girls. And guess who was in the middle? The dream boat. The Dave.
The Dave.
And I had to go up there and separate them, tell them to go home, get off the street and go home. So what did he do? He took the whole gang of them home with him. Anyhow. I got in my car and left. That's what I did. Now he is. He's absolutely wonderful. He is. I'm so glad we found him. It's under that great, great big rock, you know, and I think it was Dennis Creighton moved it. There he was. No, he wasn't. He came walking in, and I was so glad because he has a wonderful essence about him. Everybody's in love with him, and what are you going to do? It's Dave Hamill.
It's going? Well, after that story, Millie, about last night, I'm just not sure that you're in the same reality that I am.
Do you see my nuts telling the truth?
Yes, I am.
She shook her head. She was one of the women.
Well, it's funny that...
the last time we met you. What is this now? I went home. Yes.
Yeah, right, Millie. She was out there shaking it up with us. Actually, she got two guys that none of us knew at this coffee shop, Kensington Coffee across the street over there. Nobody's got these two guys, brings them over to the group, brings them in and everybody. So you're out there doing a little recruiting, so don't feel it in me. But anyway, thank you for that introduction. That's boy a first for me. But it has to do, I think it really kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about tonight, which is really... So I started this church, it'll be 2 years in February, and what it's done is really gives me such an incredible flavor for love, and what love is, and where it is, and what's available for all of us. And when I came, I had done some other seminars and some looking and searching, and I was fortunate that I was raised in a family that was very full of love, a lot of unconditional love going in the family, but to me, that's just what it was, you know, that's what Mom and Dad did, and so I didn't really appreciate what was there for me until I got out in the world and saw how conditional so many things are. And last year in class, one of the exercises that Millie had us do was that we each got a piece of paper, and we were supposed to write down a question on it and an answer, and then fold it up, and we put it in the basket, and we'd all pick them out and try and see what it was. So I'm sitting there trying to go, okay, question, I got to write a question, and I couldn't get anything. But what I got was, love is the answer. So I'm going like, well, that's good. Well, what the heck's the question? And I sat there for about 2 or 3 minutes just perplexed. I couldn't come up with a question. And then it's just like somebody like just got hit over the head. And it's like, it doesn't matter what the question is. Love is the answer. So that kind of helped me start looking at love a little bit differently than I had before. And in looking at it, I realized that, you know, where the love that I have isn't really where I'd like it to be. I don't have enough. Millie talks about that, you know, bubble of love that we have and getting our love level up. Well, I tell you, at that point, and now it's still, I keep working on trying to raise it and trying to get it higher and higher. And in looking at that, what really came up for me was that I really believe that we all have, there's so much love out there available to us, but what I was doing was holding out. You know, pushing it back. I can only have so much. You know, it doesn't matter that there's so much love out there that would pour over all of us. But because of what I had to say about myself, no, I can only have this much. And I think we all do that in some aspects, where we have those feelings from time to time that, you know, I don't deserve that, or I'm not good enough to have that. And so what I started doing when I realized that there wasn't enough love there for me, I started looking inside. And it was the first time when I finally realized, you know, I've been on this external search to find about love and find out what's going on. And then I started finding, well, all the answers are internal. And so I look back and realize how long I've been out there searching for answers that are all inside. And so much of our society, I think we really do that. You know, we're out there looking for all these different things and different gratifications and things, and what really matters is in here. And that's where the answers are. So I started prying back and lifting up those rocks Millie was talking about and trying to get in there and see what, you know, what's going on there. Where's that self-love? And when I got in there, I really started looking deeply. There wasn't self-love there. There sure was a whole lot of self-hatred. And that self-hatred that was there for me is what keeps holding me back. And mine was bundled up into this big club, and it was made up of all my failures, all my shortcomings, all the things I should have done or could have done, and all that meanness and all that old junk, you know, that we all have. And I kept that club real handy because I could beat myself. I didn't have to reach very far to get it and to beat myself up. And when I realized that that's what was going on, I thought, gosh, you know, that's kind of ugly. I don't like that. And here I am, and I come to church, and I come to class, and I get all this love from, I mean, our Tuesday night class is just amazing last year and this year as well. And when you get in there and Spirit comes to you, and you just feel that unconditional love, I mean, it's amazing. And then I'm looking at myself kind of going, yeah, I feel like such a pauper in that department. So I thought, well, it's got to be something on me. I have to take responsibility for giving myself love. Because until I do that, it doesn't count. You can't really, I really believe you can't receive and you can't give what you don't have. And so it's incumbent on each one of us to really work on that love for ourselves and be responsible for having self-love. So when I got in there and realized that, I thought, boy, this is going to be kind of tough because I just can't seem to conjure up any self-love. Where does that come from? And so I started thinking about it some more. I said, you know, I just really need to forgive myself. I need to forgive myself for all those supposed shortcomings I have and all those ugly things about me. And I couldn't do it. And I thought, you know, everybody else can forgive me. I can't forgive myself. Now, I know God doesn't need to forgive me. Because God, in order for God to forgive me, he would have had to condemn me. And we all know that God is love, so there's no condemnation on his part. He doesn't need to forgive me, but I need to. And once I stopped and really sat and thought about it, I said, you know, I have a great life. I have great people in my life. I have this wonderful spiritual family, and I have a great loving son, and, you know, things are really pretty good. And when I really focused on getting grateful for what I had, then I could start forgiving myself. And little by little, I could forgive a little bit more, and it was like taking an eyedropper and getting one little drop of self-love and running over the altar and self-love and kind of dropping it in there and then running like heck because I thought it was going to be like some big explosion because that thing had been so dry for so long. It's one little drop of self-love, all things going to crack and blow up. Miraculously, it didn't. Like, wow. And after some period and time and work again, you know, there's one more little drop of self-love I can drop in there. And as Millie talks about getting our love volume up, after a period of time, I got my love volume up. And it wasn't like it was a real quick thing, but it was as fast and as natural as it needed to be for me. And as that love volume grew and it got up there, then I started looking at the people that I was around and my relationships in the world, and it was just easier to be loving. And one of the things I realized is that so often in my life, I'd be out there making people wrong, that I'd make things mean something. And there's no peace there. And there's no freedom there. Because if I am out making people wrong and making my life that I'm making wrong, there's a big cost to doing that. And that cost is intimacy and closeness. Because if I'm going to make you wrong, then I'm pushing you back. And that's what I've been doing all my life. And so when I finally got that, you know what? You don't have to make people wrong. And you don't have to make it mean something. Somebody may do something to me or walk by and say something, and it's very easy for me to make it mean something because I want to make them wrong anyway. So if I can give up spinning this tale because I don't have enough information. I don't know what's going on with that person. You know, how many times do you walk by or you know, you're out on the freeway, you get cut off or something, and you think, yeah, that rotten so-and-so, he did this, you know, and he's in a big hurry to get over there and stuff. You don't know. But we want to make it mean something so we can get a handle on it and make somebody else wrong or feel like we're in control. And by having that control, we have to spend a lot of energy, and there's no freedom there. So when I finally got that, you know what, just let it go. Who cares? Let that person who's having some kind of, something's going on with them, don't make it mean something. Give them the space to be who they are. They're just doing the best they can. And not make them wrong. Just let them go. And all of a sudden I found, boy, there's just so much peace there. And it's just so much easier for me to be me. And it's so much easier for me to love me and have that kind of love until I got to the point where that love was overflowing. And a lot of it came because of this spiritual family and seeing those other great examples that are out there, these lights that are out here in our spiritual family who are so loving. And when you get that and you feel that and you know what it is and you realize that this is unconditional love, it doesn't matter what this person does or doesn't do. They don't have to be anybody or not be anybody because you're giving them the freedom to be whoever it is they want to be. And it doesn't make any difference. You're going to love them anyway because there's enough love in here that's going to come out so that everybody gets washed over with that love. And that's what I get from this group, from this spiritual family. It's easy in here. It is so easy to be loving and unconditional love with you guys. Then you go out in the real world and it's like, okay. Boy, this is kind of a toughie. But as I got back to that responsibility for having my love for myself, and that's what really struck home for me. All these challenges that, you know, that we have, you know, we have these unresolved issues of self-worth that I was talking about before that I've used to beat myself up with. I really think that's our job here, you know, while we're here on the earth plane, to go and really take a look at what those issues are for each one of us and to work on them while we're here. Because if we can resolve those issues for ourselves, we become much happier and much more loving. And as those issues come in and we integrate them and take that responsibility for loving ourselves, then our life transforms. Life transforms with unconditional love. We're not out there in that competitive marketplace bargaining for conditional love because we don't care. It's not part of us. We can be unconditional in our loving and free up the people that are in our lives to be unconditionally loved as well. So it's one of those things, you know, somebody said I was talking earlier to a friend, and we were talking about integrity. And for some people, you know, integrity, it's not the big eye integrity, it's that little eye integrity where, you know, if you're out and integrity to you is flossing three times a day, then you go out and you floss three times a day, and that's putting integrity in your life. Well, a lot of these things that I'm trying to do to keep myself in that unconditional love phase, they're not there all the time. And when I'm having a good day and I'm being really loving and I'm feeling it coming from everywhere, then that's an easy day. But that next day I might wake up and parts of the puzzle aren't there. And so if I don't get into that moment and realize what's going on with me, I just kind of go through my day. And then maybe later on I go, oh my gosh, you know, what have I been doing? I haven't been, you know, very present today. So I have to kind of take those parts of the puzzle that are missing and slide them back in there and get that integrity back or that love back. And it's been my goal is to try and really be in that moment because this is when life happens, in this moment. And instead of being, you know, trying to go afterwards and going, oh gosh, you know, look what I did earlier. So I would go back and forgive myself for those moments that I had where I wasn't really in or might have hurt somebody's feelings or said something or just had an angry thought that I never expressed. And I thought, this is really good. It's working because I'm forgiving myself. Nobody else is responsible for me. I'm taking responsibility for myself. So I made a game of it. And I said, you know, I'm going to count how many times I forgive myself. I lost count at about 32, and it was about 10:30 in the morning. And it was fun because I got to make a game out of it. But it really, it just changes. You know, life changes. And when you're being present and really being in that loving it just makes all these relationships with everybody so different. And I just know that if it hadn't been for the church and the classes and all of you being who you are, it wouldn't happen for me. You know, I'd still be out there being the same old jerk that I was for years and years and years, and I was really good at it. But it was fun. I had a great time. You know, I wasn't a bad guy, but I certainly wasn't the loving individual that I want to be. And I really think that as we get there, closer to that, and love becomes unconditional for each one of us, life transforms. And if each one of us can do that and transform your life so that you are living unconditionally with love, then society transforms. And if we want to change the world, that's the best way to do it. And if each one of us together, working by ourselves, taking responsibility for ourselves, and reaching out to each other. So thank you for this time and a chance to come up and talk with you.
Again, we are all so blessed to have each other. How'd you like that, Elizabeth? Wonderful, wasn't it, honey? Did you see where your big brother came in back there? Harold, he slipped in. I claim your brothers. Your mother doesn't know about it. That was just great, Dave. Just great. It's an easy talk, huh? Don't you wish the whole world knew that the easy way to live is spiritually? It's the easy way to live. We don't have anybody new tonight, do we?